Can you hear me?
Good.
Great. This morning's scripture reading is from 1 Corinthians, and it's chapter 2, verse 16, starting there and carrying on through 3:5, and it's on page 167 of your Pew Bible. I'm actually going to read from the New International Version, which is different than the Pew Bible, but do follow along if you wish from your Pew Bible. And Paul is addressing the Corinthians, and he starts off by answering a question once raised by Isaiah. Okay, 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. This is the word of the Lord.
Can you hear me? Sorry, my mic wasn't working, but I got to go up to the sound booth. There's some wonderful people up there, and they are worshiping Praise Team as you are singing down here. They are really having a good time up there, so it's good. Good to visit you there. Let's pray. Father, quiet our hearts. Help us to focus on your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray and we live. Amen. Lot of talk about the economy, isn't there? And whether or not the U.S. economy should be decoupled from everyone else so the U.S. doesn't bring everyone else down. So people are very interested in the Federal Reserve, which lowered the interest rates. Who is the chairman of the Federal Reserve? Do we know his name? Bernanke. He's not as famous as the guy before him. Who was that? Greenspan. Who was before Greenspan? Paul Volcker. He was in the news this week because he endorsed one of the Democratic presidential candidates. Who was before Volcker? Arthur Burns. Arthur Burns was the Fed chairman from 1970 to 1978. Things were not going very well for him or for the U.S. economy, so he decided to go to a Bible study. Now, for those bankers out there, prayer, Bible study, important things. Paul Volcker was Jewish, but he went to a Christian Bible study in Capitol Hill. And he was very, very quiet during the whole Bible study. But at the end, the Bible study leader said, Mr. Volcker, will you close us in prayer? So Mr. Volcker, Paul Volcker, prays, O God, may all Jews come to know Jesus. May all Muslims come to know Jesus. May all Buddhists come to know Jesus. May all Christians come to know Jesus. Amen. I think that's a good prayer. Paul says, you have the mind of Christ. We know Jesus. Don't we, Christians? Well, then this week, someone made a special appointment, came into my office to tell me about all the Christians they know who aren't living up to Christian standards. And finally I said, is there anybody there that you respect? And he said, Billy Graham. I respect Billy Graham, and quite frankly, many Christian leaders should be paying attention to what Billy Graham says. When he gets together with Christian leaders, he says, there are three things the evil one uses to bring down Christian leaders. Sex, money, power. And it's interesting that Billy Graham has been a paragon of virtue. But you know who impresses me even more than Billy Graham? Mrs. Billy Graham. Now, she passed away this summer, and Ned Graham, one of her sons, took time out to come back and take care of his mother. And Ned Graham, as he was parenting his mother, was reflecting back on the heritage he had. He remembered back to being a baby and growing up in this very special Christian family. And there's something wonderful about babies, and we just had a baby who cried on cue. Babies are wonderful, aren't they? Another question, since you guys are pretty good answering feedback questions. How large, how much do you think the largest baby born weighed? According to the Guinness Book of World Records 2008, that's my authority, happened in Italy in 1955. 22 pounds, 8 ounces. Now I said that the largest surviving baby, I'm going, well, how about the mother? Okay. Now that's, to put it in context, many of us know Charles and Tess, the triplets, the three triplets together weighed 6 pounds. Now that's a big baby, 22 pounds. Now, Paul says, you were big babies, church at Corinth. And on the green sheet, you have the message where it's not quite as candy-coated as the NIV. But right now, friends, I'm completely frustrated by your unspiritual dealings with each other and with God. You're acting like infants in relation to Christ, capable of nothing much more than nursing at the breast. Well, then I'll nurse you since you don't seem capable of anything more. Ouch. Painful words. Paul says, we have the mind of Christ, but we're not living up to that. And he says, church at Corinth, you are a bunch of big babies. And 1 Corinthians is a wonderful example of a textbook on leadership. And the first model for leadership, Paul says, leaders sometimes have to be nursemaids, nannies. Now, Paul is not alone when it comes to the baby theme and the milk theme. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Now it's interesting, this is Peter, not Paul, but the same theme. If you're quarreling and arguing and envying, you're a baby. Therefore, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy, envy and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, so that you have tasted that the Lord is good. The writer of Hebrews, if you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 5, beginning with verse 11. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are so slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So there's this theme throughout the New Testament that if we want to have the mind of Christ, if we want to be mature, we shouldn't be babies. But Paul says, church at Corinth, you are babies. You're engaged in baby talk. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, merely infants in Christ. Someone after the first service told me there's now baby sign language, which I think is pretty cool, and you can actually communicate with your infant at 5 and 6 months. Well, Paul says, I am coming with the spiritual steaks. I've got some wonderful food. And here I have to pause and again thank the praise team. Friven, thank you for having that Malaysian feast for the praise team and allowing Pastor and me, May and me to participate in it. After the service, the 11 o'clock service last week, the choir brought Pastor May and me and others out for dim sum. So I, as you can tell, like to eat solid food. And Paul is using this analogy of food and says, just like there's solid physical food, there's solid spiritual food. And Paul says, I want to share that with you, but I can't even talk to you. The writer of Hebrews says, I've got some things I want to share with you, but you just can't understand them. Last week, I went to hear Tim Keller. And I know some of you know Tim Keller. He's a wonderful biblical expositor from New York City. And I went to hear Tim Keller, and I was sitting up close so I could hear him. He's one of my favorite preachers. Tim Keller and I think John Stott are the two preachers who had a profound influence. Maybe throw in John Ortberg. Those are three biblical teachers that I really respect. So I'm listening to Tim Keller talk when all of a sudden a woman walks into the church late. Can you imagine somebody coming late to worship service? Sorry. She had red hair. I'm talking red hair. And she was wearing a hot pink jacket, and she was carrying a bunch of bags. And she went up towards the front and sat down. Tim Keller's meanwhile speaking. 5 minutes later, an elderly woman storms down the aisle, and the two of them get into an argument in front of us all. And bags are being ruffling. And suddenly, one bag is grabbed, and the elderly woman storms out of the church. I'm going, what happened? And then I realized, oh, instead of paying attention to God's Word being exposited by one of the best preachers in the world, I'm more interested in these bag ladies. And I think that's what my friend who came in to see me this week is all about. Yes, I want to see Jesus. But sometimes I don't really see Jesus because I just see a bunch of squabbling Christian bag ladies, or as Paul and Peter would say, a bunch of babies. There's some really important things Paul says, I want to teach you, but you're not able yet to hear them. It's baby talk. And baby tastes. What do babies like? Babies like milk. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. What is milk? Pre-digested solid food. Now, that's really important for a baby. But when you get to be 20, 30, 40, 50, you don't want to be on a liquid diet, do you? Except Inspector Morse, my favorite detective from the Colin Dexter novels and the TV series. I prefer to get my calories in liquid form, is what he said. But a little different kind of liquid. But we're not on a liquid diet, friends, are we? We're to be on a solid food diet. It's interesting, Peter and Paul and the writer of Hebrews are very clear that a solid food diet is this book, the Bible. I had a wedding reception recently, and I was talking to a very, very impressive Christian leader in Hong Kong who was moving. And he said, you're the minister at Union Church? And he looked at me and said, preach the word. He said, Hong Kong is susceptible to all sorts of different spiritual teachings, but what Hong Kong really needs is to hear God's word. I said, well, thank you, sir. Preach the word. Peter, Paul, Hebrews say, know this Bible. I am so relieved we let the children out for Sunday school. And you should be too. Because one thing I thought about doing is let's keep the kids in Sunday school and have a Bible quiz. We'll have adults versus kids. Now, there's an adult class going on this hour as well as last hour, and if we call them in, I think we could take them. I mean, there's not that many of them. There's a bunch of us. But if we called the kids in and had a Bible content quiz, I can almost guarantee that we would lose. Especially when it came to the Old Testament. Kids in Sunday school really know their Bible. But it's almost like once you graduate from the Sunday school, the Bible's kind of an accessory. And it's not just at Union Church. In almost any church that they do a survey, they find out people under the age of 15 know the Bible more than kids and adults over the age of 15. But Paul says, I came with solid food, and you were ready only for milk. Pre-digested food. Someone else has done the work, but there's a time when we need to do the work ourselves. And as we face a new year, what a wonderful opportunity to grow spiritually by getting to know God's Word. And then Paul says in verse 3, not only are there baby talk, baby taste, there are baby tantrums. You are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Apollos, another, I follow Paul, are you not mere men? After all, what is Apollos? What is Paul? Only servants. Now, I don't want to offend babies, but the one thing we can say about babies is they are really self-centered, right? Babies make messes. Babies keep you up all night. Babies cry and scream when they don't get attention. Now, that's okay when you're 8 months old, but when you're 40, 50, and 60, that's not such a good thing. And Paul says, you guys are acting that way. You're acting like babies. It's all about you. It's not about Jesus. It's not about how you can serve. You have arguments about leadership, but really your leaders are servants who point you to Jesus. Here's the boring bit of the sermon for those of you who haven't filled out your form. I want to do a little sociological analysis. There's a brilliant sociologist by the name of Christian Smith. He teaches at the University of Notre Dame. And he is saying that we need to relook at the way we look at human development. He said in ancient days there were two age spans. You were a child and you were an adult. After the Industrial Revolution, adolescence came. So you're a child, you're an adolescent, and then you're an adult. Then, this is where it gets interesting. His data is from 50 years ago. 50 years ago, the average person in the West, if you were a man, got married when you were 22. Woman, you were 20. And almost everyone, by the time they finished schooling, was in the job for life and in a marriage for life 5 years after finishing school. Now, I'm an expert on weddings in Hong Kong because I've had like 16 or 17. The youngest bride I've married is, I think, 23 years old. Now, it's interesting. On the form, it says spinster. If you're unmarried after, I think, the age of 18, in terms of the city hall, you're a spinster. But we're marrying later and later. We're going to school longer and longer. And there's very few people who 5 years after finishing their secondary school are actually doing what they're going to be doing for the rest of their life. So Christian Smith has come up with a term called emerging adulthood. And he said, most people between the ages of 18 and 30 are not adults. Now, did I just offend anybody? They're emerging adults. Other sociologists are not quite as kind, and they use delayed adulthood. And I think that's what Paul's talking about. There's some delayed adulthood here. You're not acting like mature adults. You're acting like children. You're acting like babies, church. So for those of us who are emerging spiritual adults, what should we do? If we are not to fight, if we are to study Scripture, if we are to be open to God's mind, how do we do that? That's a question I want you to grapple with. C.S. Lewis, in his essay, sermon, Weight of Glory, says, if we consider the unbelievable promises that God has for us, our Lord finds our desires not so too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea, we are far too easily pleased. Paul says, You are smug and you are spiritually self-satisfied, church in Corinth. So much so that the really wonderful things that God wants to do in and through you, He can't do. So He calls them babies. Well, I'm not going to call us babies. But I will tell you that you're looking at someone who's an emerging spiritual adult, at least, if not a baby. It's very hard for me to keep the focus on Jesus rather than myself. It's very easy for me to act like a baby when things don't go my way. And my hunch is it's pretty easy for some of you as well. But what a privilege we have when we put aside our petty needs and turn to this table. And we think of a God who loves us, who came as a baby and grew up into adulthood and witnessed to the world what it's like to see God in action. And He gathered together some of His brothers and sisters and He said, I want you to be my band of followers, so once I'm gone, you show the world what it's like to be a Christian. He died, He rose again, and then as His followers were waiting, the Holy Spirit descended upon them and some spectacular things happened, and in the eyes of the Romans, the world was turned upside down. Now friends, even now the world is being turned upside down in some very special places. And wouldn't it be nice if the world was being turned upside down in Hong Kong? And one of the ways that could happen is if people say, hey, I'm going to not focus on myself, I'm going to focus on Jesus. That He has prepared me for a very, very special vocation that only I can do. That I get to reflect the love and joy of Jesus Christ. As Arthur Burns prayed, Lord, may the Christians get to know Jesus. May we get to know Him and may we share Him. And to help us, He has this Lord's Supper where we are to remember that wonderful sacrifice. So let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we want to follow after Him. We want people in our family, at our workplace, at school, and those who know us to say, yes, that person is a follower of Jesus Christ. And Father, we long for spiritual adulthood. We long for maturity. Father, we ask that as we take stumbling steps, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, You would allow us to grow into all the fullness that You have planned for each one of us. We thank You for the unique tasks and duties You have for each of us, and ask that You would, through Your Spirit, through the fellowship of our Christian friends, allow us to boldly proclaim Your Son, Jesus Christ. And we do that today by celebrating this meal together. We thank You for the spiritual food that we are about to partake. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.